I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
The biggest challenge for me when you're rebuilding, and the Bulls have gone through a full-blown rebuild, is sometimes it's very hard and it's emotional to move on from your own players, especially the young players. But if you look around the league and look at the teams that have done it well and the teams that haven't done it as well, I think the teams that pick and choose the best guys and move on from the rest, so to speak, and get more veteran players in quickly, I think they generally do better. Look at Philadelphia with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They had a lot of young players, and they decided to build around those two. And it's as painful as it is, I think that'll be the next step for the Bulls.
Middays on the Score.
That was Radio.com Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough, who joined the Bernstein and McKnight Show yesterday. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves host the Rockford IceHogs 3 p.m. on Sunday. First 2,500 fans to arrive on Little Debbie Sunday receive a Wolves retro lunchbox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Joe Cowley is now on Twitter at @JCowley_hoops.
No, J. Cowley Hoops.
At J. Cowley Hoops. Okay.
Right? No underscore? Joe?
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no. Just find him on Twitter. He's making all
kinds of
noise.
Really, who cares?
He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You've got names. How did we already get to this point now where whatever kind of production this is to remodel the Bulls front office appears to be happening and we actually have some possibilities?
Well, those are speculative names. So, if you read the whole article, those are just names that either have been floated out there or would be a good fit. And like I said in the article, as I'm hearing, this could be a very well combination of two. When you look at what teams have expanded in their front office, you know, it's no longer GM basketball ops guy. It's GM, it's general manager of analytics, it's general manager of player development. So the Bulls really need to look at this and figure it out and expand to multiple people. And I think the thing that's setting a lot of people off is John Paxson will be involved in this process. But I mean, you guys know John. You guys have a pretty good sense of him. This isn't a Kenny Williams egomaniac type person. I think if they hire the right person and he's in that process and he feels good about who they brought in, I think that person will be granted a lot more power than people think. Gar's out of the picture. Forget Gar. I mean, Gar's going to be put in that Randy Brown situation where Randy Brown had to accept the demotion to the back of the bench or leave, and I think Gar Foreman's going to be in that position where, hey, you have to accept this demotion to just be our scout, and however this guy that we bring in wants to set up the scouting department, you are at his beck and call. And if you don't like that, go see if there's another organization interested in you, because I don't think there'll be a lot of interest outside the Bulls on Gar Foreman just because of his reputation. So I think he's in a kind of a no-win situation where he's just going to have to just go along with the program or leave on his own and see if he can find something else out there. I mean, there's no way beating on the door to talk to Gar Foreman and interview him. So, I think that will be the step in all of this is, people are concerned about John Paxson's ego, and John wants to win, but at the same time, John doesn't bring that big ego that a couple guys on the other side of town bring and that have been a problem in the smooth transition. They were supposed to be Rick Hahn and still wanted to do interviews and still wanted to put his thumbprint on the guys that are successful but push back on the guys that haven't been successful. I don't think we'll see that with John Paxson.
Talking with Joe Cowley here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Joe of the Sun-Times wrote this today. A source familiar with the situation told the Sun-Times that there could be multiple people hired by the Bulls as the power structure is still being determined. So help me nail down to some specifics, Joe, if you can. Does that mean that the new highest-ranking new hire then hires the rest of these people, or they hired new highest-ranking person, that person works with John to hire the rest of these multiple people?
Yeah, and again, I'd love to answer that, but I don't even think the Bulls know that answer.
Not
because
for sure.
They haven't identified that person. I think if they identify the person and they're able to land someone with a lot of cachet and someone they feel that brings a lot to the organization, then they relinquish some power and say, okay, we're going to let you now do the next hire or how you want to set up this department. So if they can't find that guy and they feel like, okay, we're bringing in a guy with lesser on his resume and lesser talent than we're looking for, then I think they're more hands-on and they're more into the process. And again, this is still early on where they're trying to identify, okay, these are the guys we want to go for. These are the guys we have to seek permission to talk to. And if we land A, B, or C, this domino falls this way. And if we land D, E, or F, the dominoes fall this way. So I think that's where we're at in all of this. But, you know, like I said, there are I would be shocked if there's not multi guys hired for this, and a total repositioning of titles and parking lot spots and all that kind of fun stuff.
That's going to get awkward, though, because the Bulls, in a way...
Yeah, very well could be.
Yeah, when you go into this, you're being interviewed, too, because if there's heavy hitters out there, if there are people with real power, and on the other side of the table, John Paxson sitting shoulder to shoulder with Michael Reinsdorf, and you're trying to have very frank discussions about what job responsibilities are, that... Michael's going to be in a position where sitting right next to John Paxson, he might have to, you know, sell off a little bit of his power to get a guy that he wants right there in that conversation. So I don't know how the actual structure of the negotiations would work here. Who's involved at what stage? At some point, does Michael say, you know, John, I'll take it from here?
Yeah, and that's very well a possibility. There could be, you know, John could help kind of broker a guy into this interview process and hope and help bring this guy along. But at the end of the day, maybe Michael and even Jerry will want to sit down across from this table one-on-one. And if they're going to neuter Paxton, they probably don't want Paxton in that room to have his power neutered in front of them. So, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. But again, it comes down to what names they can get in that building, what kind of interest they can get. I mean, are we talking a big hitter that has a lot of ideas and wants to have a lot of power? And are they going to, you know, kind of relinquish that and say, hey, John, you know, this is what we signed up for. This is what we talked about. And we're able to land this guy and we have to give him this. So, you know, that remains to be determined. And, you know, I definitely think that, you know, John's wanted to kind of get in the shadows, I think, the last couple of years. I think a lot of this is kind of worn on him. He didn't sign up to be the face in front of the media, in front of the podium. You know, Darv Orman couldn't handle that. And I think the breaking point was, you guys remember the media day, the year the allegations were up on Derrick Rose about rape and sexual harassment and all that stuff. And Gar was asked a couple questions, and he had note cards in front of him. Because those questions weren't on the note cards, he kind of stopped. I mean, it was just a really bad look, and they kind of put him, you know, found his red stapler and put him down in the basement after that. And we hadn't really seen him that much. And that this year, he was not supposed to be at the media day, and I think they kind of marched him out just because people in the organization were tired of him kind of hiding and stuff like that. So, and John doesn't want that. That's not what a VP of ops should be doing. He shouldn't be front and center and have to be the face of the organization. So, you know, I think this has been a couple of years in the making where I don't think John has that ego to have a problem stepping aside and saying, okay, this is the new voice, this is the new face, however they want to handle it, let them handle it. You guys have seen me, I'll say hi, I'll shake hands, and that's about it. That's all I want from this in the public eye.
Well, I'm fine with Gar being relegated to formatting TPS reports. That's good by me. I wonder, though, Joe, like, the Bulls' push for relevancy in the last couple of years has turned into it's a feeble attempt at mediocrity, and that's not where they wanted to be. How much will relevancy be a guiding force for these new hires? Like, is that still the watchword for the Bulls, or is it something different? And I guess those things could be like, you know, really competing and having Giannis in free agency, or even a complete and total teardown for whatever next free agency is biggest.
You know, I think when Michael stepped on board, I think the biggest concern and the priority was the business end of things, and fans hate hearing that. And when you look in the standings, no one gives a damn about the business of Bulls basketball. It's a very successful business. I think that was Michael's initial thing. I know he was involved in a lot of meetings and popping his head in a lot of different departments. But now the realization that this has to come down to the standings and this has to come down to basketball has been a slap in the face for a year and a half of where they completely failed. I mean, you can have all the great business and the charities and the Bulls charities and that the social media, you know, considered one of the top social media organizations. All that is fine and well, but I mean, you have to win games. And I think the embarrassment of what's most important, the win-loss column, has kind of been, you know, wearing on them the last year, year and a half, where they've had to kind of rethink this and start kind of moving in this direction back in November. This wasn't an all-star weekend decision. This has been going on for the last couple months. It's just that they knew they had everybody in town for that all-star weekend. They could go ahead and back channel and talk. And there's some guys that Michael Reinsdorf really holds in high esteem across the league, and he bounces ideas off of those guys. And I know for sure he did that. So they feel pretty good about what they want to do and how they want to do it. Now it's just finding who's going to do it and who's going to be those names and kind of what power structure will be relinquished because of those guys.
One of the names you include is that of Chicago-based super agent Mark Bartlestein. And
right.
I heard him last week on with the McNeil and Parkins show, and he all but said, no, absolutely not happening. He had very kind things to say about Bulls ownership, about the Reinsdorfs, et cetera, because obviously that's it's part of his business and he works with them. But it sounded to me almost 100% like this is not something he'd be interested in. Have you heard otherwise?
No, I mean, you know, he said what he said on the radio, but there's been guys that have said no on things that have changed their mind. And, you know, I know the Reinsdorfs have a great relationship with him. I know that Paxton and Gar had a great relationship with him. And, you know, the Jabari Parker signing was almost a favor to him. So, you know, I know the relationship is good. And even the breakup of Jabari Parker was very amicable and very thought out, talked about between both sides. So I know the relationship is there. And, you know, are they able to get him in the building and get him to sit down and say, hey, this is what we're thinking. This is what we want you to build. Or, you know what? I mean, he's got, what, 24 first-round picks in his stable right now. Maybe he says, I don't want to leave that for the unknown. So I think that still has to be determined. I haven't heard he's a definite no. I haven't heard that they've talked about getting him in the building either. I'm just kind of just throwing names out there of what would make sense and how they would want to do this. And if you bring in a Bartlestein, do you bring in a young guy, you know, like a Shane Battier too, to kind of be that, you know, that go-between? And to me, that would be the ideal combo if you find something like that, or a Mike Dunleavy, or it's kind of a guy that's kind of on the up-and-come as an assistant GM and in a good organization and has a lot of good ideas and can kind of be that voice to talk to the players, especially we know what's coming in free agency in 21. And obviously, the free agent class this upcoming year is poor. That's not how you're going to turn things around. You're kind of aiming this thing for 21, so I think they really want to get everybody in place for that summer of 21.
Joe, you've got Rich Paul's name in your list. What would it mean for the Bulls? What would it mean that the Bulls have accepted about themselves if they go that route? And what would the league have to accept if Rich Paul is taking that job or really any other job like that at a team?
I think the Bulls would have to relinquish the idea that they have any control in that organization and they have to forfeit everything to Rich Paul. It would be not a hostile takeover, but it would be a takeover of an organization that we haven't seen before because of what he brings, who he is attached to, what is the future of LeBron. Would the Bulls have to relinquish ownership shares in this and say, hey, you know, this is what LeBron foresees down the line, or this is what Rich Paul foresees down the line as being some kind of owner in an organization? Would they have to relinquish that kind of stuff? To me, that would be the ultimate, we have no idea what we're doing anymore, and we are handing the steering wheel, the car, everything, the keys to this guy, and we're just going to sit back for the ride. And I don't think we would have seen anything like that done in the NBA by an ownership group where you just say, this is the it guy, but with that comes a lot at stake, and we have to hand that to him. So, you know, I can't see Jerry Reinsdorf doing that ever, because at the end of the day, the final stamp of whoever they bring in or however they want to do it goes across his desk. Whether he's, you know, just paying attention to the White Sox and doesn't care that much about the Bulls doesn't matter. Everything has to go across his desk for that final stamp. And I couldn't see him relinquishing that kind of power to one individual and what that individual could bring, disastrous or great. You know, that, to me, that would be the ultimate
something we, like I said, we've never seen before.
I wonder what the effect is now of this moving to center stage. This is the Bulls' story now. The Bulls are back in action in Charlotte tonight. There are games left to play. This beat-up roster is still going to get out there and do things, and Jim Boylan is still going to be screaming. But what does it do? Players, they're aware of all this stuff. They understand all this is going on about their own future, their own accountability, and how it affects whether or not they listen to a coach who is decreasingly likely to be there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the players are paying really close attention to this. You know, I think it was on your guys' show that I talked about Lauri Markkanen and his kind of, yeah, if things don't change, I really don't want to be here. Send me to Dallas so I can play with Luka, or send me to Denver so I can, you know, play with Jokic. I mean, you know, I think that's his mentality right now. Now, if they bring in something that makes him think differently, and obviously they have control over him over the next couple of years, so a lot can change, but I think that's his mentality right now. I think Zach, after watching on the outside looking in and beating that drum of saying, you know, I have all-star numbers, but because I'm attached to this win-loss record or attached to this organization, I can't get mine and I can't advance my brand. So what is his future for the next 2 years when his window is still open on this contract? So I think there's a lot at stake for the players sitting back and watching this saying, are we going to be an embarrassment? Are we going to be a joke? Are we going to go on the air and on live shows and hear, you know, fire guard pass chance, or are we actually going to start taking this thing seriously and understanding that the Bulls is a global brand that's treated like it's a Mayberry brand, and will that change, and do I want to be a part of this? So I think, forget what Jim does the next 27 games or who the evaluation process. This isn't about evaluating players at this point anymore. That's window dressing. This is about this organization looking in the mirror and evaluating themselves and deciding, can we do enough to make this a destination place for maybe even the guys that we deem worthy to stay here, but more importantly, for the rest of the league and bringing in guys from the outside and turning this punchline around. Because when you think about the Bulls right now, you're putting them in that same group, that same joke as the New York Knicks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, when that's where you're at as an organization that's supposed to be a global brand, you really have to rethink things and look in the mirror and say, where am I driving this thing to? Am I driving it into the mud, or can I pull this airplane up and get us back into the air and make us what we're supposed to be?
Joe Kelly, thank you, man.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, you guys take care. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.